This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to another edition of LabCast. I'm your host, Kevin Kane, and today I'm very fortunate to have two outstanding content marketers with me here in the studio to talk about a very interesting aspect of content marketing, and that's publishing a book. I'm going to actually let them introduce themselves. So, Jonathan, why don't you tell people who you are?
Thank you, Kevin. I'm Jonathan Kranz, and I have a company called Kranz Communications, but I think the more relevant thing here is that I've published a book for my own business interests, so I know what the pathway is like. My book is Writing Copy for Dummies, and that came out, you know, ancient history, all the way back in 2004. But the memories of that process are very much with me. I'm fortunate enough to have a novel picked up by Henry Holt that will come out in spring of 2015. And as part of my preparation process, I'm participating in something called Launch Lab, which is a group of writers who are binding together to help each other learn how to promote their book to the public. And this is under the guidance of Grub Street. And in our first session at the beginning of this month in October, we had the pleasure of meeting Dori Clark, who's going to join us in just a minute. And Dori Clark, in addition to being a consultant and coach, is the recent author of Reinventing You, which has come out this year by Harvard Business Review Press. And the book is a soup-to-nuts guide on how to reinvent yourself, your career, your brand. And it takes you from those first stirrings of excitement and possibility about what you might want to do through to actually doing it, finding that new career, becoming excellent in it, and then learning how to promote yourself and building a credible reputation as an authority in your new field, industry, or career. And so after reading this book, which I've done this week, I thought that Dori would be the perfect person to talk to regarding what it takes, why you would do a book, and what it takes to do a book. So let me turn it over to Dori so she can introduce herself.
Well, Jonathan, thank you very much. My name is Dori Clark. I am a marketing strategy consultant. I teach for the Fuqua School of Business at Duke University. I blog pretty frequently for Forbes and the Harvard Business Review. And as you said, I just published about 6 months ago, Reinventing You from Harvard Business Review Press.
Now, Dori, is it safe to assume from the title, Reinventing You, that this book in itself is part of your own self-reinvention?
You accusing me of being meta, Jonathan?
Yes, I am.
Yes, it is true. The book actually sprung from my own personal experiences because I've had a lot of different careers. I started as a journalist, worked as a presidential campaign spokesperson. I ran a nonprofit. I made a documentary film. And 7 years ago, I started my own marketing consulting business. It's interesting because it's also part of my continuing reinvention, because I think even for many of us, when we've found a niche that we like or that we're thriving in, you want to keep things fresh. You want to make reinvention a steady part of what you do so that you don't stagnate. And mm-hmm. So for me, in addition to the consulting practice that I have, I was very interested in writing and speaking more and really diving into that. And the book has provided a terrific platform to enable me to really grow my practice and do different and better types of projects.
Now, I think we would both agree that writing a book can be one of the most rewarding things that we can do. But it is also, of all the different kinds of content we might create, one of the most laborious. It's not an easy thing to just leap into. It's not a casual decision. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about why you committed to doing a book and a little bit about who else you think should do a book. Who would this be good for and who might this not be such a good idea for?
Yeah, great question. I have always wanted to write a book. I mean, for me, it was sort of a number one, kind of a bucket list activity that was just something that for my personal satisfaction and fulfillment, I wanted to write a book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, which I think is a pretty valid reason. But there's also business and professional considerations as well. And so I think that if you're looking at it from the perspective of a business person, you want to ask, okay, can a book help drive my other business objectives? I mean, in some cases, you luck out and your advance is such that the book is able to be a sort of end goal in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But for far more business people, you'll receive a modest advance, but it's something that is... It sort of aids and abets your other business, whether it's a consulting practice or whatever it is that you do. And so, what I would ask is, when you're thinking about whether to write a book or not, number one, do you like to write? Is it actually going to be fun for you? Because you don't want to commit to a year or more of a torturous process. If it's going to be horrible for you, don't do it. And then number two, if it's a passion project, if you like, you're writing a novel, that's fantastic. If it's something you've always wanted to do, great. If you're thinking of it in a more instrumental sense, then you want to ask yourself, number three, can writing this book serve as an additional credibility statement for my business? Can it drive business to me and attract the kind of clients I want? And if that's the case, then it is a good business decision to write a book.
Yeah, well said. So I know that at Launch Lab, you told a really fascinating story about the long and torturous path toward actually getting the book deal. And I wonder if you could make that a little shorter, a little less torturous, and tell us a little bit about the how. How did you get from that, initial realization that doing a book is something that you would like to do, both as a kind of personal fulfillment and for business, and getting it to the point where you could attract serious interest from a publisher? And of course, you attracted an excellent one. So if you could give us a kind of condensed milk version of that story.
Indeed. Well, the very short version is that in 2009, I got serious about wanting to publish a book. And so that year, I actually started out the year by writing three different book proposals, which
wow.
my thought at the time was, one of these is going to work. I now realize this was actually not the best plan. Publishers are looking for focus. But anyway, that was my brilliant strategy. It didn't work at all. And, I got some minor nibbles, but really what I kept hearing back was, gosh, you are not famous enough yet. And so therefore we do not want to publish your book. And so I realized that contrary to the impression that I had in my mind, which I think, maybe in past years was true, which is that you can write a book and then there will be marketing around it and it will make you famous or at least bring you greater renown. The equation has flipped now. And you have to prove to publishers that you are famous enough at the present moment that based on your own connections, your own brand, your own platform, as they like to say, that you can move a significant number of copies. That is the thing that you need to be able to persuade them of.
Yes. In fact, in the guide that I wrote to accompany this podcast, I say it's kind of the catch-22, isn't it? Our motivation for writing the book is, of course, to build our brand and build our reputation. But in order to get the book deal, you already have to have a pretty considerable brand and reputation up front, or else publishers and editors just aren't interested. So despite that, however, I still think, and I know you still think, that doing a book can be an excellent thing to do. But I think you made the transition clear. What does it take then to build the kind of platform necessary to get interest in a book?
Yeah, so I think that particularly for people whose stock in trade is ideas, if you are a knowledge worker, if you are in a profession that values thinking and perspective, blogging for me is really one of the best ways to do it and something I would strongly recommend. That was the strategy that I followed when I got all my rejections in 2009. I said, okay, I gotta double down. And so I started aggressively pursuing venues that I could blog for.
Right.
And so that meant, number one, starting my own blog, which nobody read, but you just have to kind of get going so you have little clips that you can send people. But then the goal is as rapidly as possible to start guest posting on other people's blogs,
right,
or to go to a pre-established outlet. So in my case, I started blogging for the Huffington Post, then I was able to crack into the Harvard Business Review, then I was able to start blogging for Forbes. And before long, those are big enough brand names that publishers said, oh, she has an audience. And so it just makes everything else easier. So I think that's a really good strategy. I would say for most people, think about a blog plus maybe one or two other social
right.
outlets. It could be Twitter. That could be your thing. If you are a really big photographer, maybe it's Instagram, whatever it is. But pick one other social platform to really go deep in.
I think that's good advice. The only thing I would add to that, perhaps, articles, too, can be very powerful, either articles you create yourself and manage to distribute or publish, and or being cited as a source for significant articles can be a great complement to the things you recommended, particularly blogging and tweeting. Now, I think a lot of people would surprise many people who haven't written a book before is that you don't write the book when you approach a publisher. You write a book proposal. Fiction is different. Editors want to see the complete book, but in nonfiction, the name of the game is the book proposal. I was wondering if you had a few thoughts, Dory, about what goes into a successful, attractive book proposal.
Sure. Basically, your average nonfiction book proposal is going to have two major components. One is the sample chapter. So you do have to write a little bit, although not too much, probably 20 or 30 pages so that they can get a sense of your style, make sure you're a good writer, see how engaging the material is. And then by far the larger piece is what I'll call the marketing proposal. Mm-hmm. And so in that, you are going to do an in-depth outline, you know, maybe a paragraph or two a piece, where you talk about what you're going to discuss in each chapter of the book. Mm-hmm. And you are also going to basically explain how you will market this sucker. So you have your bio, you have all of the details about every connection you have in the world, and you know, things you've done before, connections you can leverage. So I mean, in my case, you know, I'd say I'd have a paragraph about all the speeches that I've given and places that I could speak in support of the book. I'd have you know, a section about my social media presence and how I'd be leveraging and deploying that. All of it is basically in service of the idea that, hey, we can sell a lot of copies, really.
Right. And so what you're showing a publisher then is not just a proposal for a book, but you're really showing a plan for a book that sells. You're showing them a marketplace as well.
Exactly.
I think that's absolutely critical. And if I could share a little anecdote about writing copy for dummies, and the book, as the title suggests, is about writing copy, you know, marketing writing, advertising writing. After the book got published, I got emails from two different copywriters who turned out were actually much more established than I was, and perhaps more famous, at least within the marketing industry, than I was. And both of them were polite, but they were kind of like, how did you get this gig? We submitted proposals to the dummies people, that was Wiley, and we were rejected. What did you do? And the honest answer is I don't know, because I never had a conversation with the editor saying, here's why I rejected the others, here's why I took yours. And of course, I didn't get to read the proposals that these two men had created. But I have my suspicion, Dory, and that is, as part of the proposal, I recommend saying having a page, or even maybe even a paragraph or two paragraphs that defines who is the audience for this book, who is the market. And the thing that I did with writing copy for dummies is I recognized that if I said the market is people who want to be copywriters, well, that's a pretty small market. How many people want to be copywriters? Not that many. I mean, they're out there. But what I said was, no, this book is for people who never intended to be copywriters. In fact, never intended to write copy at all. But through changes in their career or obligations in their own organization, or perhaps they've started a business, now realize that they either have to write copy, which is especially true of the web, or they have to manage people who write copy. And I made that the number one audience. And I suspect that that's what made the difference.
That's such an important point, Jonathan. I think that's really right, because you want to paint the picture for them. They the publisher is not going to automatically you know, have this vision of who the audience is. You have to make it really clear who it'll appeal to. So that's fantastic.
Well, I noticed in your book too, in the very first chapter, you really position the overall story. It's like, well, who needs to reinvent him or herself? And the answer is really everybody, that today no one stays in one place throughout a career. In fact, we can expect in our lifetimes to go through multiple reinventions. And I think that was wise to do up front, because you're saying this isn't just for the starry-eyed dreamer. It really is a process that all of us should understand.
Yes, definitely.
Now, Once you have the good fortune of having your book proposal accepted and having a contract and a book deal, there's the actual writing of the book. And I was wondering if you had some tips, hints, or suggestions for how to climb the manuscript mountain.
Yes, yes. Well, this was something that I did. I didn't take a year off and go hide in a cave or anything like that. I had a business to run. I had my my consulting work that I had to balance it with. So I was very much doing this, working around the other elements of my life. But basically, what I discovered worked for me is the following. If I write a blog post, for instance, that's something that I can usually just fit into the course of my day if I have, a spare hour or two. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy. It's pretty discreet. Boom, you do 700 words, you're done. Mm-hmm. Writing the book was different for me in the sense that it required longer stretches of time because since it wasn't just a discrete 700-word piece, it actually was it might be the same word count. It might be 700 words, but it would fit into a larger whole.
Right.
It took me a while every time I sat down to kind of orient myself about, what have I written before and what's coming after this and how do the pieces fit together and how do I make them connect? And so what I discovered was that I was working optimally if I spent half-day blocks, say, right, between 3 and 4 hours working at it. So during my peak writing period, I would spend probably 3 or 4 days a week, and I would block out half-day blocks and just power through it. And, if you're writing longer than four-hour stretches, the quality, at least for me, started to decline.
I would agree.
But it was useful to have that chunk of time because then I could really get immersed in it and be fully oriented so that I could write appropriate things that fit into the pieces around it.
Right. I think that makes a lot of sense. I know for me, part of what was really helpful was, as you said, that block of time every day or at least 4 or 5 days a week, but also breaking it to chunks. I mean, just the idea that you have to write the whole book is just too intimidating. But, it's not so bad if you say, well, I need a chapter a week or a chapter every 2 weeks, depending on how long the chapters are. I mean, that's manageable. You can do that. And it's a lot less intimidating to think, oh, I got to sit down and write the manuscript, which, it would make anyone shudder. So I think, what you're onto is like little bit, piece by piece, commitment, block of time every day. Can you tell me a little bit about once you've created the manuscript and you've submitted it to your editor, how did the editorial back and forth process go with you? Do you have any observations about that?
Yeah, the editorial process was longer and slower than I anticipated. I think that's sort of the way of the publishing world, although
right,
I imagine that it'll probably begin to change since it's changed in every other facet of our lives. But it is a little surprising when you go from blogging where you can, click post and, there it is on the web for the entire world to see. And then meanwhile, you have a book, which in my case, from signing the contract to actually coming out, took 23 months, so just under 2 years. That's a pretty long time.
Sure is.
Harvard Business Review Press, my publisher, God bless them, they have a very high editorial standard, and I think they edit much more intensively than many publishers do these days. I've had friends who literally they signed a contract and the book was due, and the book was released 9 months after they signed the contract. And, this is, of course, a book that has not been written. So
right,
it meant that they, had to write a book in a few months and scramble. And then, boom, it was out. One friend told me, Dory, I'm not even sure my editor read it.
And wow.
That's kind of the feeling that many people get. On the contrary, though, and I think I'm sort of on the more intense end, since HBR is a little bit of a rarity in terms of their real, their focus on editorial quality these days. But we went through 2 major rounds of edits. Then
right,
we had a peer review process where they sent it out to 4 outside anonymous reviewers. And so then I revised that. And then we had one more sort of micro round of revisions. So it was pretty well vetted by the end.
Yeah, I think you're being polite about it. Yeah. Yeah, vetted, right? But well, that sounds pretty grueling, and I think that your observation earlier that it's not going to be the same from publishing house to publishing house is probably true, and it sounds like in your instance, Harvard Business Review is particularly intense. But on the other hand, they did a great job. The book is excellent, and you have the imprimatur of Harvard Business Review, which is the perfect calling card.
Yes, thank you.
So. The big kahuna here is the promotion, book promotion. What do you do? The book is out, and the books just don't sell themselves. Just because you have it on Amazon, it's in Barnes & Noble, they're not just going to fly off the shelves or out of warehouses. And again, it may come to a surprise to some people that really the largest burden or share of the burden of marketing will fall on the author's lap. I suspect that promoting the book and leveraging the book to business advantage are actually closely connected because one reinforces the other. But I was wondering if, as we come closer to the end of this podcast, if you could talk about the most important things a book writer, a book author needs to know about book promotion.
Sure. I think that the first and most important piece is that you really need to be fearless about asking people to buy your book. I mean, I come from the world of politics, and you know, we all know if people don't ask for your vote, then you're not going to get it. And so you have to lose your inhibitions. I think that a lot of us have been brought up to feel like, you know, oh, well, you know, selling is bad. We need to wait for people to come to us. And so I shouldn't be selling my book. Well, you know, guess what? if you are not selling it, it will not happen.
Right.
And your effort will be for naught.
That's
and
true.
So, you know, when we first met Jonathan, I you know, told this story that they invited me to come give this lecture at Grub Street. And they said, well, if you want, you can bring your books to sell in case anyone wants to buy them. And I said, well, yes, of course, that's great. And they said, well, you know, we thought we'd mention it, but it's also okay if you don't, because some authors don't feel comfortable selling their books. And I thought, oh, right. You know, the starving ones,
right,
the
exactly.
ones who haven't sold any copies, you always have to have that mindset. And so I would say that the two most important things that I've done with regard to sales. One is trying to drive bulk sales whenever possible. I mean, it is always easier to sell 50 copies to one person rather than one copy to 50 people. This is particularly true for business audiences. If somebody wants you to speak, you need to start getting good and being persistent at saying, sure, I will come speak, but you need to buy a copy of my book for everyone in the audience. And
good
being really
you.
Insistent on that.
Because
if you don't ask, they probably won't offer, but oftentimes they'll think about it and say, oh, you know, that's right. They might actually like to receive that, and it can be a nice sort of present. So that's number one. Number two, this is really basic, but every author should start, if they don't already, amassing their database. This does not have to be something fancy. I use Microsoft Excel, but every business card you get, every contact, put them in your database. And then, you know, A, you should have an email list, of course. You know, we all know, you know, send a blast email. Mm-hmm. Blast email is nice. That is not sufficient. However, you have the blast email to let them know your book has come out. Then you send, and this is hard work. This is really what it comes down to. You send a personal email to every person on the list.
Wow.
Saying, you know, hey, how's Sally? How was your vacation last month? By the way, I have a new book. Here's a link. Will you please buy it? And you do this for hundreds of people or thousands of people or how many on your list. It's a ridiculous, mundane process. But people will not buy it unless you ask them personally. And when you do, you know, direct mail, we all know direct mail, if you get 1%, 2% response rate, that's really great.
Yep.
But if you send a personal email to your friends and people that you know with, you know, will you please do me this favor and buy my book and give them a link, you'll probably get 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, the return is enormous.
Yeah,
that's what sells copies.
That sounds right. So, excellent advice. And as we come now to the close, I was wondering, from inception to promotion, you think about the whole gamut, are there like two or three takeaways you'd like to leave to our audience today, Dory?
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. I mean, I think that, you know, the first thing that I would say is it's really important if you are going to be an author to make sure that you can be found easily online. So make sure that, you know, I think it's important for everyone, whether you're writing a book or not, but certainly if you're going to be an author, to claim their domain name, you know, purchase mm-hmm. the URL of your name and set up some kind of a website, even if it's a basic or rudimentary one, so that there is a definitive place where if people are Googling you, they can find you, they can send you messages. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to be reachable right. if they want to, you know, invite you to speak. So that's a really important starting point, is make sure that you can be found so that you can begin to build a relationship with people. And then number two, I would say that when you are thinking of writing a book, start now with platform building. Even if you don't want to write a book yet, you need to have the platform in place before you will even be taken seriously. So start with social, start you know, trying to get out there, get speaking engagements, things like that. If you can write for outlets, mm-hmm. the better known you are, and it doesn't have to be a world-class celebrity, but if you can prove that you are well-known and well-respected in your industry, that is invaluable. That is what's going to get you the ability to win a book contract. So start today.
I think that is excellent advice, and I certainly can't improve upon it. Dory, I know that Kevin will thank you in a minute, but before he thanks you, I want to thank you. The book is wonderful. It's called Reinventing You. It's from Harvard Business Review Press, and your advice today has been wonderful, and I think anyone out there who's listening to this and be interested in writing a book would be well advised to take what you say with great seriousness. So thank you very much, Dory.
Jonathan,
Kevin,
thanks.
I'm going to... Thank you. Kevin, I'm going to swing it to you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Dora. I really appreciate both your taking the time to be here today. That was a really great discussion on book publishing, and it certainly gets me motivated and excited about the whole idea. Before I let both of you go, I did want to give our listeners a chance to connect with you. If maybe Dory could let people know how they can find you online, and then Jonathan, same question.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin. My website is doryclark.com, DoreiClark, and I'm on Twitter at Dory Clark. I look forward to talking with you.
And this is Jonathan. I can be found at kranzcom.com, kranzcom.com. And my Twitter handle is at jonkranz. I'd love to hear from anybody.
Great. Well, thanks again to both of you. Really enjoy this, and look forward to being in touch again soon.
Thank you, Kevin.